what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Psalm 103 today. The little way I'm going to do this with an outline is I'm going to go ahead and recite this, and then we're going to take like 5 minutes per table, which is why I have everybody with their name tags on, because believe it or not, everybody doesn't know everybody. I heard a story one time. I don't know if it was through Jay, but somebody said like they didn't know who Dave Sarokin was.
No.
And the guy's like, well, you sit at his table like every Sunday in your Sunday school class. Oh, really? Okay. So I have everybody wearing name tags because we're going to do a little interaction. But after I recite this, we'll take about 5 minutes per table. And I'd like each table to just sort of designate a leader. Okay, so somebody who can give a little report on what you guys talked about. But I would like to have you look at two things. First of all, what did the author intend to convey in your section? And for right now, why don't we go ahead and do this? Table, you're going to have to go to.
I'll go somewhere, yeah.
You know what? Let's split up because I got six sections. Maybe you can go back with the Gittlers.
Okay, we'll do.
You guys can be a section.
All right.
So we'll do that's section one, section two, section three, section four, section five, and section six. Okay? And I want you guys to answer two questions when you talk. What did the author intend to convey? Okay, that's question number one. And what this is really about is just a real simple basic principle that says when we look at the scripture, we need to practice exegesis, not eisegesis. Okay, and for anybody who's not familiar with that, exegesis is really when you're taking the scripture and letting it come out and up and speak what is being intended by the author and any potential ramifications of that on us and so forth. Okay, that's exegesis. Eisegesis is when we sort of take our own thought process or our own pre-planned, you know, focus or idea and sort of read it into scripture. And we take scripture and sort of sprinkle it onto what we're already thinking. Okay. That's not what this lesson's about, but I just wanted to mention that exegesis and eisegesis. So this here is exegesis. So what did the author intend to convey? Okay. I will cut a little slack here. This is a psalm, so it's not necessarily like a doctrinal statement or something like that. The best you can, just, you know, try to talk amongst yourselves and determine, you know, what was David, the psalmist, trying to say in this section, okay? Question number two is going to be, how does what the author conveyed impact my life? So in other words, application. So those are the two questions. How did what you're going to read in your section and discuss, how does that impact your life? The whole reason I did this psalm like this, and I did this like 2 years ago, I read Psalm 103 and I'm like, man, this is just an awesome psalm. And I took the words like, you know, your and us and stuff like that, and I personalized. I didn't create any heresy for anybody who's concerned about that. I personalized it from you and us and our and all that stuff to me and my and that kind of thing. So what you see on your handout is a personalized version of Psalm 103. And as far as like how it impacts my life, one of the reasons I did this personally was because there's so much stuff in here that if you knew my background and if you knew my story and all that stuff, a lot of this applies to me and my life. And I just praise the Lord for what he's done, which is in this psalm. And one little story on that, too, when Marilyn and Keith and Tracy and I were in Cuba about a year and a half ago, I used this as like a personal devotion every day with our Cuban church team that was working with us. And day one, we all get together for breakfast. I don't know if you remember this, but we all get together for breakfast. And so there's the four of us and Carly Humes. And then there was about five, six people from the Cuban church sitting there. We're eating breakfast. And we went through this and read it. And little did I know, afterwards, one of the pastors, Pastor Alexi, came up to me and said, through an interpreter, he he's like, hey, Luis here. Luis was one of the guys. He's like a church worker, you know, that was helping us. He goes, Luis, that really meant a lot to him. And come to find out, Luis was in prison for, I think it was 4 years or 8 years. I think it was...
I don't remember.
I think it was
eight intended, but four spent.
Right, mm-hmm. Of good behavior or whatever. So he was in prison. I don't know what it was for, and I didn't probe, but he was in prison for 4 years, supposed to be in for eight. And because of, you know, good behavior and all that, he got out. So basically, even sitting at our breakfast table as a church worker, he was basically on, like, you know, whatever you call that, parole or, you know, whatever. But he had been through some really, really tough stuff. And so to hear the words of this psalm just really, really meant a lot to him. So that's just a good example. And I'm like, praise the Lord. We had so many things on that trip which were awesome. So that was one of them. So again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to recite this. And I've never done this live, by the way. So I hope I can do it without getting riled. But I'll try. And then after I do this, each table is going to take about 5 minutes to talk about these two questions. And then we'll take about 2 or 3 minutes from each table, from whoever's doing the reporting, to just tell the class how you answered these two questions. Okay? So this is just sort of like a, you know, a fellowship thing around this psalm. So let me go ahead and try to recite this, and then we'll talk. So it goes like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with me, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with me according to my sins, nor rewarded me according to my iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward me who fears him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed my transgressions from me. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on me who fears him. For he himself knows my frame. He is mindful that I am but dust. As for man, his days are like a flower of the field. So he flourishes, and when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on me who fears him. His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you his angels who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Good job.
That's Psalm 103. Praise the Lord.
Hold on. Hold on.
Adam, over there.
Where's your name tag?
Okay. There. Here, you put it on. I'll put it on. So go ahead and take your 5 minutes per table and go ahead and discuss those two questions with what you have on your section. And then we'll do some reporting after that. Section number one, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Who had section one?
We did.
So what were the two things you came up with? What did the author intend to convey?
His benefits. Pardons all of our iniquities. He crowns us, and we're to praise him.
Okay. Is that your second part? We're to praise him?
Well, actually.
How does it impact our life?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
We would also say that this is written by David, and knowing what he was going through. Running from King Saul and all that, we know that he still came up with the psalm, even though he was had a lot of trials and issues in his life.
Right.
He was still able to say this, and it kind of says, we're supposed to always remember this as we these things, putting that in mind.
Sure. Okay. Very good. And, like Bert was saying, too, when he was teaching Psalm 119, that one time we talked about, in Psalm 63 says this, on my bed I remember him, I think of him through the watches of the night. Again, this here, it's like, I can't tell you guys how many times I've laid in bed in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep, and just recited this psalm. And these things, they mean a lot. I mean, sometimes I think we get a little churchy and trivially and Sunday schoolish, but, when the rubber meets the road of life and we read this stuff, it really, really just nourishes our soul and our spirit,
Did you say trivially?
What's that?
Trivially.
Okay.
Trivially.
Trivially. It's Hebrew. So section two, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. Does that ring a bell? His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Were you guys two?
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you have?
Yes, we talked about the Lord's making known his character. And I would say that it's his holiness and uprightness, and then his condescension, his willingness to be approachable and to make himself known and revealed. So you have the uprightness and the righteous deeds, and then the noticing of those who are poor and needy, the oppressed. And you have the intimacy of his ways, and then showing Israel his acts, revealing himself, and then you see his character and his compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Not getting angry. We talked about that, but slow to
not anger. Not getting angry,
yeah,
but slow.
Not getting angry,
right.
But slow to anger.
Right.
And abounding in love and kindness.
Right. So, is there a way to summarize how that impacts our life in Christ?
Our life in Christ.
Come on, table two. Help Jed out. We have three mute people and a spokesman.
I did suggest, personally, I just told the story from this week where I was in the men's group and the guy used an illustration of what it's like to be when your mom tells you what you're in trouble and wait till your dad gets home.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the group, was like, oh yeah, and they could relate. And I came home and I told Val and I asked my kids, because I said I can't relate to that. I said, I've never had that experience. And but I have it. You know, I never had the experience of sitting there waiting, oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I did it, Dad. And, but also the other side, that after my dad deals with it, things are going to be okay. He still likes me.
Okay. You know? So persistent love.
Love me. So this type of compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love is there's this relationship with God the Father that,
right,
that he's approachable and that, you know, mm-hmm. so taking him at his word.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in section 3, and this sort of dovetails off what Jed just said, he will not always strive with me, nor will he keep his anger forever. And if you notice, that statement is bookended by two statements about his loving kindness and his compassion. So the next statement is, he has not dealt with me. You know, it's like your parents, your dad's going to deal with you. He has not dealt with me according to my sins, nor rewarded me according to my iniquities. That is gigantic. I don't know about you guys, but I have a lot of sins and iniquities. Okay, I'm sorry to say that, but I do. And to say he has not dealt with me according to that is life-changing. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward me who fears him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed my transgressions from me. Table 3, what do you have?
Okay, so we talked about how this really highlights God's mercy and how it is rooted in his love. Those two statements, as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, Christ's gift to us, you know, the completion of what Christ has done and how his mercy, his forgiveness is like that, like infinity, like mm-hmm. east from west, and how it's continuous and ongoing in spite of our sin. You know, our own hearts are deceitfully wicked. We talked about that, so kind of applying that. And you touched on it, Mike, when you said, you know, you recognize your own sin. And so that comment and that statement in verse 11, for those who fear him, that when we recognize that, you know, about our own hearts and our own sin becomes great to us as we fear the Lord and understand how holy he is and, you know, that he could deal with us. According right. to our sins, the great comfort and meaning that this has to us, then, when we see that.
Yeah. And what you're touching on, Becky, and I can hear the emotion in your voice, is the gist of what this is getting at. That's why we're doing this. It's when you stop and ponder. And that's why I wanted to give this as a handout, by the way, so you guys can take this home. I encourage you, do what I did. Go through one section at a time and memorize this and meditate on it. The more you meditate on this and memorize this, you're going to be blown away at God's compassion, at his grace, at what he's done for you in light of who you are and the delta between your sin and his holiness. This is a really powerful thing to commit to your heart, as Psalm 119:11 says. Okay, table number 4. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on me who fears him, for he himself knows my frame. He's mindful that I am but dust. Table number 4, was that you guys?
Yep.
What'd you get?
We're like dust.
Okay.
We need his compassion. And he offers his compassion, his grace, his mercy.
So how does that impact my life in Christ?
Puts us in our place.
What's that?
It reminds us of who we are. Puts us in our
perspective.
Perspective.
We are only dust.
Yeah.
Dust that you just...
Dust in the wind.
Yeah. You know, who wants dust?
Who wants dust?
Yeah.
Kathy Johnson should be here.
The only action in these two verses on the part of the reader are those who fear him.
Yeah.
So our faith in Christ puts us in the position to be receptive to God's grace and compassion, even though he knows us very well.
Mm-hmm. He knows our frame. It reminds me of Psalm 139:15. My frame was not hidden from him
when I was made in the secret place. He knows all about us. He made us. And he still loves us.
Right.
Even though we're dust.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Section 5. I'm not going to read it because it's really long, but what did Table 5 have?
The contrast between man versus God, comparison of man being like grass, like a flower that dies away, but God is everlasting. There's no end to him. There's no end to his righteousness. And then so kind of the idea of God being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're keeping his commandments, so this is the second part. So if we're keeping his commandments and God's in charge, you know, we don't have to worry. God's you know, there. He's keeping, you know, his righteousness is to his children. So we don't need to worry.
Mm. That's good. Yep.
I was looking, like, I forget, is it 2? Where he talks about the past, about how he took care of Israel. And mm-hmm. in this section, children's children is referring to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So time mm-hmm. is like he's there mm-hmm. no matter where you are in time mm-hmm. and in place. And I think that's pretty interesting, too.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, another thing that stands out, too, on this section is, you know, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind is passed over, it is no more. It just shows you the passing, fleeting, very, the brevity of life. You know, your life is but a vapor, okay? And I think some of us think about that, and this word legacy is tossed around and all that, and your life is like this.
And that's where we get the contrast. Our life yep. is like this compared to God, who's that everlasting God.
Exactly. And that's why I love that. And I got this from Marilyn in Cuba. She calls them the blessed butts. And it says, but the loving kindness of the Lord.
It's our blessed butts.
And so this is like a major change in direction from the fact that we're here, we're gone, and nobody cares. But the Lord cares, and he's everlasting. Last section, number 6. What did you have? What did the author intend to convey?
Well, so you're... question and comment about time is relevant. Verse 19 is, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. So this starts off with the absolute sovereignty of God, and I thought the implication was precisely that. Lord over all, including time. Not just Lord of all time, he's Lord over time. And then the whole thing becomes a very emotional appeal or an emotional outpouring of sort of thanks and praise.
Yeah.
That's what we got out of what the author's intent was.
Okay. So would that be how it impacts your life, is the praise and the,
well,
the
sort of
glorification
of
God?
Well, sort of a paradox there, because at least personally, I always felt when the Bible commands me to bless the Lord, I feel really small. Like, how could I possibly bless the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
We also discussed that, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing, and he made us and commanded us appropriately.
Right.
So that this is an encouragement to praise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So an encouragement to praise. Okay. Cool. What'd you guys think of this?
Awesome.
Very nice. It's a blessing? So.
Aside from calling me out at the door.
I talk about the psalm. remember, slow to anger, but not always.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thanks. I've been wanting to share that for a long time. I love that psalm, and I think if we really meditate on it, it just has a ton of really important impact in how we think in our life and so forth. So.